Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're all back together to answer your listener questions. We have some great questions today. We did record this one a little bit early because, of course, I had a trip and I wanted to make sure that we had a show recorded it in the can in plenty of time so we never miss an episode. But we talk about thoughts on taking kids to Oga's Cantina. Is it worth it? Should you go there with kids? Also, great outdoor dining spaces at Walt Disney World, both table service and quick service. Which resort in the Epcot area, Boardwalk Yacht Club or Beach Club, should you pick for your next Disney vacation? This and many, many other questions coming your way. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your Disney trip planning needs. They are a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best for the amount of trips they book each year and the feedback the guests give with their experience with the great agents over at the Magic for Less. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. It's one extra click, and it really does mean a lot to us. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon is that link. And thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put out this show four times a week all around the world. We could not do this without your support. Our patrons also get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like to become a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1954 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over where? That's right, over at the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. It is Wednesday, and I hope your week is going well. You're already to hump day. You're making it through, and Friday will be here before you know it. But we got to take care of the business at hand, which is listener questions. You know how we do this? If we change things up, it'd be like Mike not eating Mexican on a Friday night. It's just not going to happen. We can't change things that are perfect. So we are going to take those questions, and Ricky is joining me today to tackle already a lot of great questions in the live chat that I don't know if we're qualified to answer, but we're going to give it a shot. You can check out Ricky over at themouseforless.com. Happy Wednesday, Ricky. What's up?
Happy Wednesday. Yes. Just another crazy week. Let's just put it that way. So it feels like it's all it is crazy weeks. So
is there any other kind in 2020, 2021? You know, we're hanging in there though. And the good news is we always talked about Disney, you know, when there's news to talk about, it's great for a Disney podcast, right? We have exciting things, changes, and things aren't stale. And I would say over the last 6 months, you know, since the parks reopened and really got going again, we've just had, you know, either a restaurant opening or a hotel opening or a hard ticket event or a closure or in a lot of cases, like a policy change with how we experience the parks. I mean, this has been, I mean, purely from a like Disney news information type period, this has like been the golden age of, staying in touch.
You are so not wrong. It is so much to keep track of, and it's keeping me on my toes, but also making me panic because every day I'm like, oh no, what's going to come out today? So like, I really have to like keep my head on a swivel, I feel like, because I'm constantly updating something, writing something, and it's just like, whoa, you know, I kind of miss the days of calm.
No, for real. It's one of those things you got to be careful what you wish for because you might get it.
I know, right? Exactly. Like, I know, you know, I'm happy the parks are open and I'm glad that things are coming back up, but I really do miss the calm a little bit. So,
amen. All right. Yes. Also, before we get going here, I want to send a shout out to our good friend, your friend and mine, Kevin Alexander, in the live chat with us tonight. So good to see an old friend. I know you got to meet Kevin down at Walt Disney World. I haven't crossed paths yet. Haven't been in the right same place at the same time. But, good old friend of the show back here with us tonight. So we appreciate that as we record live.
All right. It's good to see him. Yeah,
it is. Okay. So let us get to the first question of the night and or the day. You can listen whenever you want. It could be the afternoon. You listen at 2:38 in the morning. I don't care. I just like that you're listening wherever you are. Thomas Hildebrand says, any indication when Harmony Barbershop is going to open? Now, let me give our disclaimer, because as you guys know, anytime that I have a trip coming up, you know, in the general vicinity, sometimes these shows are recorded a little bit early, and this is the case. We're recording this one before I take off down to Florida, so things could have changed by the time this publishes, and the fact is, you're probably welcome. You can go in there and get your hair cut now, is how these things typically work out. But Ricky, have you heard any word on, you know, Harmony Barbershop opening back up? Because things are getting back to normal somewhat.
They are, and no, as of right now, I have not heard anything about the Harmony Barbershop coming back, but, you know, you never know. Surprises can happen, and we could see it anytime, but as of right now, no, nothing yet. As far as, I mean, the last time I walked over to in that direction, it didn't even look like it was getting ready to reopen at all, and that was a few weeks ago, so, yeah, I don't see it happening.
All righty, well, let's go to the inbox. Alex Campbell has a question here in the inbox. Is Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm going down with my family, and there's going to be 10 of us. We're hoping to have one sit-down meal or a very good themed experience for a quick service meal for my little girl's first birthday. How cute is that going to be? A character meal would be ideal, but I know these times are different. I would be willing to put together an experience together to make the best of everything around us. I'm still over my 60-day ADR window, and I keep looking at places for reservation, and nothing seems appealing for a family of 10. Have a conversation on this. And he says, also, what are the best choices for a motorized scooter rental service while we're down there? I remember y'all mentioning it one time and I can't remember the name. Thanks for all the help, Alex. Okay. First of all, I always recommend, Walker Mobility, walkermobility.com. They're a family owned business and they have good rates. They have great, variety of different kinds of vehicles, depending on the situation that you need. You know, they have, you can get, and I highly recommend this if you're going to be there most times of the year. The Sunshade is like a little add-on, but it's worth it. They deliver, and they're just a good company that's done right by my guests, so walkermobility.com. I don't get a kickback or anything from them, but I do like to support them because they do well. What about this? Okay, first birthday. The kid's not going to remember a first birthday. Like, I barely remember my Happy Joes when I was 4. I just remember right now because I'm still fired up because I didn't eat my pizza, and that was a week ago at this point. But I hold grudges when it comes to taco pizza.
He does hold grudges. This is true.
Just saying. So what do you think? Because they said they could do a, you know, kind of a themed quick service or a table service. Character meal would be ideal, but of course, we're in a strange time right now.
We are, and, you know, I still think that, honestly, I think Chef Mickey's is going to be a really great choice. You know, they do have the characters there. It's kind of a party atmosphere. So honestly, that was like the first thing that popped in my head when they said they wanted a character meal. That was, you know, kind of fun. I think that would be a really good option. I know that in the chat, I've seen mentioned Garden Grill as well, and that is one of my favorites. So, you know, that is also another great option. Plus, you've got the rotating arena there going on, which is kind of cool, a little aspect of that restaurant. So those are going to be like my two main suggestions. Both are character meals and both have really good food, all things considered. So
those are good calls. Yeah, I would say, here's the thing. You could also do a Whispering Canyon. That's going to be fun for everybody.
That's
and
true.
With a group of 10 and a larger party, it's a great, they're great at accommodating big groups. And we've eaten there with like 50. You know, for like before the first podcast cruise, I think we had like 50 people or something there. It was crazy. You know, something a little bit, it's not as inexpensive anymore. Trails End is fun. You know, it's just kind of fun to go over there. The baby might like to see, or the little 1-year-old might like to see the horses, because there'll probably be horses at some point you could go see. And, you know, great pictures. I think more importantly, when you have a kid that age, they're not going to remember, but you can get great shots to remember the first party. I think it's more at that age for the parents than for the kid, because the kid's not going to remember. So wherever you are, you know, wherever you are, just get a picture of the kid, you know, having a good time. Is it the first birthday where they give the kid the birthday cake and they just kind of just like jam their face in it like I always wanted to?
Yes, that's the one. That's the one.
Is that what it is? Like, are they all the way, you know, full year old? I guess they are. So
yes. Cool. Yeah. So, you know, make sure you try to, that's why I said like Chef Mickey's, because, you know, sometimes they'll bring out a cupcake or something like that, which would be adorable. Yes. Go into the cupcake and yeah.
You should get to do that on your 21st,
yes,
and like your 81st.
where you dive into a cupcake?
Whole cake. We're gonna get behind this. You don't just get to do it once. You know, just different. You make like it's like when you get in a video game, like you make it to like that checkpoint where when you die, you don't go back to the beginning. Okay, I've made it to 21. Now I get to do the cake thing again. Just mash it in.
I like this idea. What about
50? Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, somebody who's gonna have a big birthday this year. That's right. His name starts with Brian. I'm thinking I just smash his face in cake this year. I think that sounds like a great plan.
That's right. Yeah. That's what we do. Okay, Donald's got. We got a lot of questions live chat, so we're gonna get to them all tonight. Will I be happy with Port Orleans French Quarter, or should I stay at Riverside? We get in on Thanksgiving. Also, fly out to Disneyland tomorrow, and I'll think about you, Mike. Have a great time. Think about me. Tell Walt I said hello. I appreciate that. When I stay at French Quarter, I'm pumped because I'm at French Quarter. When I'm at Riverside, I love Riverside the best. It's just how I am. And I'm never disappointed with either resort. And I think you're going to enjoy it because, you know, Riverside's big, French Quarter's small. That's good in both aspects. I think you're going to really like French Quarter. And you know what? I think French Quarter, too, if you like the feel of New Orleans Square at Disneyland, you're in there. It's very similar from what I've heard.
I honestly think stay at French Quarter. I don't think you're going to regret it. I really like the theme of French Quarter. I think it's a great resort. I haven't officially stayed there, but I've visited, obviously. So I say stay at French Quarter. I think you're going to have a really good time.
All right, next question. This is the one I was giggling at the top of the show because it came in as we were starting the show in the live chat. Lori has a question. What type of mask would you recommend at Disney for a guy with a thick beard? And if you've ever seen these videos, I kind of resemble one of the ZZ Top singers. No, I don't. I couldn't grow a beard if I had to. I got a baby face. So this is one I have no idea. But Ricky, you said you have guys at work that have beards. And
I do. I mean, I clearly don't have a beard. It doesn't really work for me. But honestly, I have become a fan, and I know that some of the guys that I work with, because they have beards, I know that they have also become fans of like Old Navy masks. They're actually really light and breathable. I tend to wear them at work all the time now because, you know, the Disney ones, they do get a little thick. Even the lighter ones that they made, they're still a little thicker, and the Old Navy ones seem to breathe a little bit better. So I'm going to suggest the Old Navy ones for, you know, guys with really thick beards, because I think that they work out the best overall.
And you could probably get a mask and a pair of flip-flops for $2. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, exactly. So they're cheap masks, which is nice, so that part's really handy. Yeah,
they you know, pass all requirements, but you can still breathe. Like,
but they are reasonably priced. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Okay, you know, I was wondering about this, and when I go down, I'll have to, by the time this comes out, I'll be back. So you know how Disney had the masks, buy one, get one free?
Yes.
You know, like when you didn't have to wear them at all, except for on the transportation. Did they pull the buy one, get one free?
They did. They pulled it. They were like, oh, never mind. I think the masks went back to full price.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Which, of course, was like ridiculously expensive at one point. I think they were like $9. Yeah, so, each. And then they were practically giving them away. And then people have to wear masks again, they're like, $9 again, please. Thank you.
I thought of that the other night when I was laying in bed, trying to fall asleep. I'm like, I wonder if.
Yep, they totally went back.
That's why I love doing this show, because I just think about stuff like that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so bizarre. All right, Caleb's got a question. He says, our 7-night fantasy cruise was just changed to 4 nights. Still worth doing? This is a tough question because now here's the deal. Now, Friday's show is going to all be about the Disney Dream. I got to sail for the weekend and get some information on what the cruise experience is actually like compared to the other, 16 cruises I've done with Disney Cruise Line. I've done a lot. So I will give you some feedback on exactly, the hoops you got to jump through to get on the ship, testing, all the forms, all the stuff you got to do before you leave home, all that stuff. Now, the question is, as the time of this recording, they have not loaded in these new, because these are new itineraries, so they're not in the system, so they haven't gotten a price to us as of the time we're recording. By the time this comes out, that is untrue. We've got pricing. So then it'll look like, you just have to see, okay, is this a good value for what I'm expecting? Now, the good thing is you're going to get double dips at Castaway Cay, which in the past, over the past 10 years, those are the most popular sailings on Disney Cruise Line. If you catch a 4 or 5 nighter in the summer, 2 stops at Castaway Cay, dude, those things go like hotcakes. They're gone, gone, gone. So, I mean, if the price is right and you get to go to Castaway Cay twice on the Fantasy, which is an amazing ship.
Yes.
I would say yes. I mean, I would say go for it because you're probably looking forward to the cruise. I mean, Ricky, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I'm also going to say yes because, first of all, I mean, who hasn't missed cruising? I mean, seriously, like, cruising is just something that I think so many of us have missed. So if I can get on that ship, I, you know, whether it's a 7-night or a 4-night at this point, bring me on the ship. Matter of fact, Brian and I were just talking about, I think, and we booked, you know, I assume we're still going to be taking it, but we booked a 4-night on the Wish for next year because, again, like, we don't like 4 nights typically. Like, we like, Brian and I both prefer a longer cruise just overall. You know, we've been spoiled now at this right. point. So we're like, the longer cruise, the better. But if it gets me on the ship and also if it gets me on the Wish at that point, the Wish is only sailing 4 nights. You know, I think they may have had 1 or 2 5-nights, if I remember right. But like, it's only sailing 3 and 4 nights. So get me on the Wish. I'll take that 4-night cruise any day. So I say go for it. Take that 4-night cruise on the Fantasy. And you get a double dip at Castaway Cay. Yeah. That is even better. So I say 100% go for it. I don't think you're going to regret it.
I do too. And again, like I said, I'll let you know on Friday. Lots of cruise talk there. Okay, Jacob has a question in live chat. Boobash crowd question.
Yeah, say that specifically. Yes.
Boobash yes. crowd question, period. Are crowds at the Magic Kingdom lower during the day of Boobash days since it starts later than not so scary? So what are we seeing so far? Is the Magic Kingdom the place to go if you're not going to Boobash? Is it keeping people away like it used to?
So I think that the crowds have been pretty standard. You know, basically, you have to remember these guests are the day guests are getting a full day now at this point. So I feel like they're probably the same as they would be on any other day because, you know, the park isn't closing early. I feel like with Mickey's Not So Scary, the park closed so much earlier that you did see like that dip in crowds that day. But with the fact that, you know, really there's no change to the park hours, I think it's just a standard day overall. I don't think there's an increase in crowds and I don't think there's a decrease in crowds. I just think it's just a regular Magic Kingdom day at this point.
I tend to agree with that. You know, and the thing was, we always, if you think about the logistics of it with Mickey's Not So Scary before this year, was that if you didn't have a hopper, you would try to avoid the Magic Kingdom because you didn't have the long hours. But here, as an AP holder, I went against the crowd because if everybody was thinking, don't go to the Magic Kingdom, I went many times on days where there were Halloween parties that night, and the place wasn't that full. And I got more done in less hours than I would have if I'd have had the 3-4 extra hours. So.
Right. So I think that I don't think the crowds are lower. I think that they're probably just about the same as they would be on any other day.
All righty. Jeff's asking, do you see the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster opening anytime during the 50th anniversary celebration? What do you think?
Let me put on my thinking cap. Hold on.
It's probably open by the time the show comes out. No, just kidding.
It's probably open. Yeah, I expect that it will be a part of the 50th anniversary celebration, but I'm going to say it's going to be at the very tail end of the 50th anniversary celebration. So it's going to be like, you know, summer, that last 6 months of the 18-month celebration. I say next summer, they're going to try to have that open. But I think it does depend because they are waiting. Part of the problem is that they are filming the attraction video when they film Guardians of the Galaxy. And I know Guardians of the Galaxy got pushed back. So it is going to depend on when they can get together to actually film I don't know if it's a pre-show that they're filming or part of the attraction or what, but there is going to be a piece that is going to be included in that attraction. And they were waiting to film that when they were going to actually film the third Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which makes sense because you already have all the stuff there. You know, people
not only that, and, you know, it was kind of going to be one of those, okay, we're just going to throw this in on this day, you know, extra thing. There.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you're not doing a whole nother shoot.
Okay, right, exactly.
Alfred's asking, here is one. No kidding. He says, when can we book ADRs for Space 220? Now, I would not be shocked if this has been announced by the time this show comes out a week from now. Yeah. So
I would not be shocked if it is either. Yeah, as of right now, we don't have a date. So as of this recording, we don't have an official date for when Space Station 20 will be open. If it's not out by the time this show comes out, I suspect it will be out in the recap of, like, because lately Disney's been doing these monthly, here's what's happening this month in food at Walt Disney World, because they've had all the ability to do these newsworthy posts for this, because, you know, new restaurants keep getting added and stuff like that. I suspect that by September 1st, 2nd, maybe August 31st, we'll have a date for Space 220. You know, again, I'm skeptical. I'm still so skeptical on Space 220. But I think by then we'll probably have a date if it hasn't already been announced by now. And probably the way things have been working, I would say either they'll have ADR start up almost like within that week of announcing it, or they will do walk-ups and then...
Yes, which is going to be hard for something that popular, but because they're just going to get people coming in getting disappointed. But, I mean, with Bulma, though, opened on August 20th and didn't the ADRs just 2 days before, right? The
18th. 2 days
Two days.
Yeah, so you could see it happen like that, too, where the ADRs don't come online until, you know, a couple days before the restaurant actually opens. So it just kind of depends on how Disney wants to play it, to be perfectly honest. And we honestly don't know at this, you know, time of this recording of the way they're going to play it. But I suspect that we'll have that opening date, if not already, by August 31st, September 1st, or September 2nd, right around there.
Good call. Okay, Donald's got a question. Now, I will say, caveat, I know this was the show that we talked about this past Friday, because we're doing things all out of whack, because, again, I'm going out. I never want to miss a show, so sometimes I got to get these things out of whack. But he's asking, will the Christmas party be worth the money, in your opinion, for four adults? Now, let's assume he's going not during... Now, again, the highest price, $250 a ticket. If he's going around... I think $269, actually.
Well, $249, yeah.
At that point, I don't even care. Like, it's a rounding error. So, four adults is going to be around $1,000, you know, or between $900 and $1,000, probably.
Either way, no matter whether it's adults or children, it will be $1,000, because there is no child pricing. So it's going to be the same price no matter.
Or a little price increase that you don't notice unless you're paying attention. You know, little things. Okay, so is it worth it? Again, here's how I see it, because we talked about this on that Friday show for 40 minutes, but... It really depends to me how much you want to see that very special Once Upon a Christmas Time at Christmas Parade, which is awesome. Don't get me wrong. Toy soldiers marching, playing music, and Santa and the reindeer dance. I mean, it is a great parade. You also get two different fireworks shows. You get the Disney's Enchantment, and then you get the Minnie's Christmas deal fireworks show. And, of course, you get all the extras that you're going to get, you know, the dance parties and the overlays on Monsters, Inc., and Jingle Cruise, but you could do those things outside of the party, I think.
Well, not Monsters, Inc. Jingle Cruise, yes.
Okay.
But not Monsters, Inc.
So, it just really depends. I mean, if that stuff is special to you, you know, maybe don't do two signature meals and do the party and, you know, call it even, you know, kind of thing. That's the best advice I can give for that. Because it's really hard to say whether it's worth it, because, you know, the different value for different people.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of mentioned this, you know, on the podcast, when this comes out last Friday. If it's something that's important to you and you really want to do it and you think that it's worth the money, then yes, go for it. But you know, if you're okay and you know you're cool with experiencing Christmas in the other parks, and yeah, you'll get Christmas in the Magic Kingdom too on a lighter scale. You won't get the parade or the fireworks or anything like that, but you'll still get like to experience Christmas. If you're okay with that way, then skip it. It just depends on what you really, you know, want to experience as far as the Christmas celebration is concerned. Like I said on the Friday show, I think Christmas is actually better at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
It's pretty cool.
I enjoy that much better than actually I do at the Magic Kingdom. So for me, it may not be worth it necessarily, because I love Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood Studios Christmas is a whole lot cheaper.
It's a whole lot cheaper. So I'm that's where I'm in for.
But it's not as cool. It is not as cool. I mean, this is it, right? Disney is selling that Main Street snow projected on the buildings, maybe the fake snow falling on Main Street while you're watching a parade, sipping hot cocoa. I mean, they are selling that Hallmark, that postcard of Christmas, like the old Anheuser beer commercial where, you know, the sleigh is getting pulled through Grant's farm over the bridge. And, you know, it's the postcard that everybody dreams about for Christmas. I mean, you get to live it, but you're paying to get that dream. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, we could go forever on that. We do on that past. There's so much to think about. It's so crazy. All right, Emily's here. We love Emily. She's one of our runners. If you were going to watch Happily Ever After and not be in a park, would you watch it from the Polynesian Beach or the Grand Floridian Beach? I've seen it from both. You know what? I didn't even think this would be such a great view, but I was with Scott about 2 years ago. There were fireworks. We ate at Narcusi's, I think it was. Yes. Is that kind of the octagonal restaurant?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And they have like a little porch where you can go out there and watch fireworks. And it was a pretty good view because I thought we were like too like in. I didn't think we were like far enough across to see them, but they were pretty neat. The thing about Happily Ever After, though, is A, it's the music, and B, it's the projections. So it's not going to be great, but to see the to be more center and see the castle, I'd do the Polynesian Beach. Also more room.
Yeah, I would say Polly. I just don't know if they are restricting people. On the beach as far as, you know, seeing the fireworks, I don't know.
Well, she said she does have scuba gear. And so,
that's good.
She's like a Navy SEAL that's going to pop up.
I don't know the status of seeing fireworks from the beaches right now. So I'll just give that caveat. If you're going to have to choose one, I would choose Polynesian Beach over Grand Floridian.
All right, cool question from Alfred. Is Garden Grill open for breakfast right now? I don't think it is.
Gosh.
I do not think it is. But I've gone in to see Ride Soar. But here's the thing, right? I've gone there and like they're getting ready to seat people as soon as I go to Ride Soarin', but Epcot opens at 11. You know, so I'm usually going in at 9.
Oh, then it's probably not open for breakfast. If Epcot isn't open until 11, you're right. And breakfast stops at 11. They're not serving breakfast. I think it's just lunch and dinner. Answer that question.
There we go. Christine's got a question here in the live chat. The live chat's on fire tonight. Hi. That's how it starts. Hi. Of the Epcot resorts, which do you recommend? Beach, Yacht, or Boardwalk? We've been several times. Okay, give me your answer first. If you had to pick one, which one are you going to pick?
I have a very special connection to the Beach Club, so Beach is my choice. There's just something about that resort. And again, it's one of those resorts I haven't stayed in yet. But I feel, oddly enough, at home at the Beach Club, which is just the strangest thing for never having stayed there. But it's just, there's just a feeling. So Beach for me.
And I feel at home at Pop Century, so that says something.
Well, I know, yeah.
I'll be honest with those three. I've stayed at all three multiple times just for race weekends, you know, not like super long trips, but sometimes we do. I mean, we stay at Yacht quite frequently.
Yeah.
But I'll say all three, it doesn't matter to me. I'll take whichever one has the cheapest. Like if I can find a standard at Boardwalk and not, you know, only like water views at Beach and Yacht, or catch a discount over at Yacht and not catch it at Beach or Boardwalk, I go where the cheapest room is because you're still getting that same accessibility to walk the two parks. And I know people are going to say, well, you know, Yacht and Beach have Stormalong Bay. It's pretty awesome, but the pool over the Boardwalk is nothing to sneeze at. It's pretty cool. The Keister Coaster and, you know, Big Pool, I enjoy that one too. So the theming's all similar. I mean, if I had, you know, to be honest, I kind of like the theming of the Boardwalk more because it's like, it's kind of exciting being from the Midwest. You look down, you got the Boardwalk, you can go get pizza or ice cream and, you know, games. And, you know, sometimes there's live entertainment and better days, you know, stuff like that. So I don't have a preference. I would say, I would probably go Boardwalk or Yacht Club because I can usually catch it. I go Yacht Club because I can usually get a discount at Yacht Club and the rooms have been recently refurbished, which they're awesome. Boardwalk though, all three's even, I'd probably pick Boardwalk just for something new. I don't know why I like it so much, but I do.
It is a cool area. I'm not gonna lie.
There's a lot going on.
But it doesn't have the creepy clown anymore, which is a very nice positive, but it does still have the creepy chairs.
I don't know whoever designed those chairs, man. They were like, they're nightmare fuel. That's all they are.
They are absolutely nightmare fuel. And so they got rid of the nightmare fuel that is the clown, but they still kept the creepy chairs. So I'm out on the Boardwalk for that.
I think I've said this on the podcast like years ago, maybe 10 years ago. When I was a kid, I had a recurring nightmare. No kidding. And like this was like my parents were probably getting ready to take me to a doctor or something, or like a psychologist, because I would come running through the house because my bedroom was at the, we had a really tiny house. Like it was like 900 square feet, but I would come running through, my bedroom was at the other end. So I'd run through the kitchen, down the hall to my parents' room. And I had this nightmare. I swear, again, I was young, but it felt like I had it for at least 6 months every night. And what it was, I had this high chair at my grandparents' house. Now my grandparents' house didn't have a basement like yours, but it, like you could, the cool thing about my grandparents' house was like you could run like a loop around the house, like the kitchen connected to the family room, connected to the hall, connected to the laundry room, and then you'd be back in the kitchen. So we had four grandkids. So we'd like always, you know, Thanksgiving, we'd race, because you had a complete circle to go around. Anyway, I had this high chair there. And for some reason, like, you know, I don't know if this was like this for you, but like when I stayed at my grandparents' house, it was just kind of scary at night. Like they had a grandfather clock, so it'd be like, all night, like when all the lights were off, they had this big, like huge, like two horses that hung over the fireplace.
And it was just, we definitely didn't have that.
They had like, they had these, I mean, they were cool like during the day, but at night when you were like five, it just freaked you out. So anyway, I had this high chair, and for some reason, it's almost like Sorcerer's Apprentice movie or Fantasia. I dreamed that this high chair would come to life, and it was always chasing me in the circle around my grandparents' house. Well, no kidding. And that's like those freaky chairs. Like they're very close to that high chair. Like they're going to come to life. They're going to chase me down the keister coaster and I'm going to drown or something. It's crazy.
Mike, we may need to put you in therapy.
You
may need some therapy. Yeah.
A lot of people have said that. So anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the subject. Mitch has a question. And I'm looking at Mitch's picture. That's,
I know.
Speaking of, there's my nightmare for tonight. Hey guys, I have a question.
We love you, Mitch. It's fine.
We do love you, Mitch, but that kind of scares me. And I think it's a statue. I can't tell. Maybe it's Mitch. It looks like it's just a surprise. You think, oh man, I just got the best Christmas present ever. Okay, anyway, my family of four and my parents have a Polynesian Caribbean beach split stay coming up the week after Thanksgiving. We're staying for a week and have 5-day park hoppers. We're contemplating getting a merriest holiday party tickets for the last Friday night as well. Is this way too much? Also, any tips for getting a ride pass? We are Star Wars junkies. Thanks. I think Mitch is asking about boarding groups.
Yeah.
Good news about boarding groups. I guess I'll throw this in here real quick. Paul is one of our listeners, good friend, talked to him all the time on the show. He was down 2 weeks ago. Boarding groups lasted till 6 hours after they opened up. Some people actually got to ride without boarding groups.
I don't think it was a glitch, but I think it was a unusual day.
Low crowds. Yeah, totally low crowds, which is not going to happen.
Very low crowds. Yeah. That may not happen for Mitch.
It will not happen for Mitch.
Don't give Mitch false hope.
I'm just saying, you will have the stress that we all have, so get ready.
Correct.
Best tips, just be on at 7. Just make sure your app is, like, refresh your phone, kill the app, refresh. You know, make sure that you haven't had it running before. Like, I would totally, you know, swipe up, kill the app, go in fresh, make sure everything's good, 7 a.m.
Be off Disney Wi-Fi.
Some people say not to. I use LTE, but, yeah, some people
Use Wi-Fi. Use Disney Wi-Fi. You know, do it a couple seconds before. You know, like Mike said, just keep swiping up. Don't hesitate. Click. Just click.
That's it. You cannot read. Don't read.
No, don't read. If you need any like assistance after you've got your reservations, go to the guest services and talk at that point. Because that is what has hung me up before, where I've looked and then I was like, oh, wait, my brother's not on it. And then that was one of the reasons why it was gone. So, yeah, just don't hesitate. Just click.
As soon as you see the word join, if you see the J, just boom, hit it. Don't be like, oh, my God, I don't see my third kid. Too bad. They're just not getting in right now. We'll fix that later. Yeah. I mean,
we'll
seriously.
We'll fix it later.
That's how you got to do it. The kid will be sad for a few minutes. They'll get over it, and then you'll fix it. So just now, as far as going to the park.
It was an anomaly for sure. Yeah.
So going to the party. I mean, again, it's the exact same thing. I mean, it is if it's something that looks really exciting to you, I don't think it's too much, but I think you'll be fine without it. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, again,
decorations will be up.
It is what you would like to make of it. So, you know, if you really want to go to the party, go to the party. If you think, well, maybe I've had enough Christmas everywhere else, then don't go to the party. It's the best advice I can give you.
Well, Felicia in the live chat says, I did a cake smashing for my 40th birthday party. I don't even know what the rest of the thing says, but that's pretty cool. So I missed out when I was 40. I should have smashed a cake. So anyway,
I guess so. Yeah.
Let's see here. We have another one. If our APs expired in May, can we renew still, or are we out of luck? We're DVC as well, if that matters. I don't think you can renew. I think you just have to buy fresh.
Well,
because you only get a month to renew under normal circumstances,
yeah,
anyway.
You only get a month to renew. Yeah. I plead the fifth on this question at the moment.
Okay.
I don't know what to say at this moment. So all I know is that I've heard some rumors. So.
All righty. And Emily says, hey guys, are we allowed to explore resorts right now without a dining reservation? I would say if there is any kind of advantage to be gained by going into that resort, it is going to be super extremely hard to get in there. For example, if it's on the Skyliner line, nope. If it's Beach Yacht or Boardwalk, nope. I mean, you might be able to go explore All Stars. You could probably talk your way in there.
Well, I mean, if you're parking there, if you just want to take, if you're on,
yeah, if you're parking, if that's what I was thinking, yeah, getting past the guard check.
If you just want to visit the resort, you are just fine. Like if you're using Disney, you know, if you're at the parks and you're using Disney transportation and you want to go to another resort, yeah, they're not being strict about that anymore. That was just a, you know, really after COVID, you know, reopening thing. So
that's a good
they're
point.
Not strict about it anymore.
Once you're inside the bubble, like Disney transportation, nobody cares where you go. Like you can get wherever you want. Nobody's checking that. Yeah, I was thinking like in a car. Yeah, totally.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. In a car. Yeah. They're very strict. Very, very strict.
Got to be creative.
Yeah. Then you have to have, in order to explore the resort, you have to have the dining reservation. But I mean, there's a time limit. So just keep that in mind. It's not like you can leave your car there and, you know, go other places.
All righty. Lori's got a question. If you're staying at Beach Club with plans to go to the Magic Kingdom and want to take a midday break, but also have a 7 p.m. Cinderella's Royal Table reservation, when would you leave the park and then head back to make the break worth the trouble? This is a great question.
This is a Mike Rollman question.
This is a seriously great question, Lori, because the thing is, you got to really be disciplined, because what's going to happen is you can get caught to where you stay in that park too long in the morning or, you know, in the afternoon, and all of a sudden you are like chasing it. You get back like, okay, we got 17 minutes to take a nap and then we got to get out of here because transportation time eats a lot of time. And the thing is, here's what's going to happen in days. I'm not saying it's going to happen when you guys go down, but I mean, in days where they had like the 2 o'clock parade, you know, they moved the 3 o'clock parade to the 2 o'clock parade,
yes.
Festival of Fantasy. And you're like, okay, we'll just watch the parade. Then we'll bounce. And then all of a sudden you're trapped in there by the parade. You can't get out of the park. You know, and like all of a sudden you're not even getting on the bus till 3:30, and then you get back to your hotel at 4 o'clock, and then you got to, you know, if you got a 7 o'clock reservation, the absolute latest you want to leave your hotel room is 6 o'clock. I'll probably leave at 5:45. That's just me.
Right.
So all of a sudden you're like, all the time's gone. So yeah, latest I would stay at the Magic Kingdom in this situation, if you're staying at Beach Club and you got to be back at, I'm just assuming they're just going back for dinner, not anything before it. I'd say you got to leave Beach Club at 6. So to make it worth it, I would leave the Magic Kingdom by, so there's a difference too with, I have this conversation with my daughters and my wife. Leaving the Magic Kingdom to me means like you are starting to walk out, you know, like in the park. I'm not saying you're at the bus stop yet. I would say you should be moving out of the Magic Kingdom by 3 o'clock at the latest, 2:30 probably.
Really? That's how, I wasn't even going to go that late. I was going to go like 1:30. I mean, it depends on how long you want to nap.
I'm thinking about a 2-hour break. Like you get 2 hours of downtime.
All right. But you have to count, like, I don't count the ride time to as part of my downtime. Cause like, I'm still like amped up at that point. Like I'm still, you know, like still going. Like I would count the rest time starting when you get to the resort and you're in your room or at the pool or whatever. So like, that's when my rest time starts. So that's why I said like, I mean, if you really want like 2 hours of rest time, I say 1:30.
Yeah. And, I'm with you. I would go earlier. Yeah. If you could, because the thing is, like you said, I mean, here's the minimum I would put on from the time you get to the bus stop till the time you get back to your hotel, minimum 45 minutes. And you got to do that on both ends.
Okay? Right.
So yeah, that's what I would say. Minimum, probably
an
hour.
And also you are missing out on like the really hot part of the day, which is good there. So that's handy. And then if you want to go back early, you can go back early, but at least then you've had your break and you have like enough time to like window of time to do that. So I'm going to say earlier, I'm going to say that 1:30 time period. But again, this is why I don't take afternoon breaks and I don't get to the park until 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's true. But you get so much done in the morning. I like it, though, because you get a ton done in the morning, get a little downtime, then you get to have a nice evening. I love this plan, but yeah, I'd be rolling out by like 1:45, 2 o'clock-ish, and yeah. I think it'd be good. Good question. That's a great question.
That is a great question.
I'm totally like this because I work backwards, right? I'm like, okay, I want to be at Cinderella's at 6:45 at the latest to check in. And then I'm like, okay, it's going to be 45 minutes to get here. Okay, 6 right. o'clock. You know, and that is, I work myself
backwards. But then
backwards.
You have to think the bus has to pick you up at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, right. I mean, you could be waiting 30 minutes for a bus. Or
exactly.
More. I know,
that's
it's totally a crapshooter. But you're right. You could get there early. So just go, you know, go watch, you know, PhilharMagic. You know,
yeah, like
it's,
go,
it's
yeah,
next to it
exactly.
and it's a quick little show. So there you go.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Julian's got a question. We have a 50th anniversary trip planned. Well, hey, it is the 50th anniversary. It's good when you have planned. We're worried about Delta because our son is unvaccinated, 5 years old. How safe is it feeling in the parks right now? What are your favorite outdoor dining spots? So I think, again, this is one that I really can't answer because my whole family is vaccinated. So I feel pretty safe because of that. Sure. I know that. We don't get into this here because you guys hear it 24/7 on the radio and on the TV, and this is kind of a little escape, you know, 40 minutes each time you download it. But I feel safe. But again, I don't know how I'd feel if I had a 5-year-old that was unvaccinated. Tough call. Everybody's got their comfort levels. I felt fine down there this summer, but that was me.
Absolutely. And it's hard for me to say as well. I mean, you know, obviously we don't have any littles, and it's just Brian and I, and Brian and I are both vaccinated as well. So we both feel comfortable, you know, going around the parks and everything like that. You know, just if you go, you know, make sure that wear masks and, you know, keep everything all situated like that. As far as outdoor dining is concerned, gosh, you know, there's
Disney Springs, honestly, is a great place for tons of places to eat outside.
Yeah. If you're looking for a table service, definitely. Counter service, the first thing that popped in my head was Setuli Canteen.
Right.
Also, Cosmic Rays has good outdoor. Yeah. Pecos Bill's, you can use the Tortuga Tavern
yeah,
area.
Well, they have a few tables out kind of overlooking
yeah,
by Splash
but
Mountain,
not,
but they're not, there's not a lot of them. There's probably 8, 10.
Yeah, there's definitely not a lot over there, so I maybe wouldn't count on that. Woody's Lunchbox is another outdoor area, but you got to catch that one. It's always busy, so just keep that in mind. There's not tables for Docking Bay 7. Flame Tree at Disney Animal Kingdom, too.
That's what I just
said. Another great choice. What'd you say?
That's what I just said about 2 minutes ago.
Oh, I missed it. Okay. Sorry, that's all right. I wasn't paying any attention to you.
That's enough. You know what? I have two good table service recommendations. My favorite restaurant, Olivia's. They got a great
patio. I think you're going to say Olivia's,
dude,
yeah.
That's the best place because it's nice and cool, but you're outside and there's people walking by. I love it. It's like you're on stage.
Yeah.
And then the other one I was going to say, in Disney Springs, you got Homecoming, you got Flight Pig. That's a good place to eat.
Oh, yeah, Flight Pig.
It's counter service, but outside.
Yes.
Just a lot of places over there have outside dining. But what was the other one I was just thinking of? I lost it. Homecoming, did I say that?
Yeah, you did. There's Boathouse over there. I mean, there's a ton at Disney Springs. Earl of Sandwich even has outdoor dining areas. So does Blaze. So does the hamburger place that I can't think of because I'm blanking on it. Deluxe, yeah, Deluxe has outdoor. I was just totally blanking. That has outdoor seating too. So I think that your better shot for outdoor seating is going to be at Disney Springs for certain. I don't know that there's a lot of table service in the parks that's outdoors.
No,
there's
not a lot.
I don't think there's
really. With kids, we're not going to Tiffin's.
Or no.
Not Tiffin's, but
Nomad Lounge.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. You could, but.
Yeah. Okay, and real quick, paging Mr. Morrow, thanks for joining us on YouTube, does say the Docking Bay 7 does have an outdoor dining. They do, because I've sat there like his auxiliary when I was eating my Ronto wrap and it started pouring.
Awesome. Good.
Okay, quick, we're like 3 minutes left, and so we're going to get
it.
This real quick. Currently have a dining reservation for Oga's Cantina with 3 kids. Thoughts, worth doing. What do you think about Oga's with kids? Because I've only gone in there like on a solo trip. I like it.
I've never even gone in.
You've never been in? It's cool, but I don't know. Because again, I was raised Baptist. I mean, like, I feel bad being even in Oga's Cantina because it's like a bar, right? I feel like my grandpa's looking down to me, like rolling in his grave. I'm like at a bar. Dude, it's a Star Wars bar, grandpa. I know.
Right,
I'm drinking
exactly.
I'm drinking something called a Fuzzy Tauntaun. I'm not having a Schlitz or something, you know? So the thing is, I don't know. I liked it, but I don't know how much.
Well,
I don't know about bringing kids in. I don't know.
The problem with Oga's is there's not a lot of seating. So it's a lot of standing.
It's a lot of standing for the most part, unless you're one of the, like, where Han shot Greedo.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that's something to keep in mind, too, is it's going to be a lot of standing for your kiddos. So, they're, you know, that it's not like a regular, like, restaurant or lounge, you know, around, you know, like, we know Pam loves her lounges. There's not like a lot of seating in this one. This is a lot of standing. They really are. You're really there to get your drink and maybe a snack and go. So that's the point.
Out. That's right. Yeah. Hey, yeah. Well, you know, we are out of time. So that's, we got to call a time out on this one till next Wednesday, but we sure appreciate you hanging out with us, and we'll answer more questions 7 days from today. So just drop me a question, mike@brguestpodcast.com, or even better, join us on Mondays at around 5:45 Eastern as we record these shows and have a good time talking with our listeners. You guys are awesome. Thank you for the great questions, and thanks for being here today. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your Disney trip planning needs. They are a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for their outstanding service to their guests and the amount of trips they book to the Disney destinations each year. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. One extra click means a lot to us. And I know you guys shop online. We all do. What? I bought these little, you know, phone pouches. Amazon. Just took one extra click. That's all it takes. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons who allow us to put these podcasts out 4 times a week all around the world. It's because of your support, and I thank you so much for that. Our patrons get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like more information on that, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter @brguestpod and @brguestmike. Of course, Ricky is @RickyNibs. Give her a follow as well. And subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. Just search for the Be Our Guest Podcast. And finally, join #ScottyG and myself this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, for the BOGP Open Line, otherwise known as You, Me, and Scotty G. And we take your calls and talk about all things Disney. Of course, this Friday, I'm going to give a little recap of Sailing on the Disney Dream. So we'll talk about that and how cruising has changed. You know, and how the ice cream tasted, mostly.
Yum. I'm so jealous.
What's your favorite thing at Cookies on Castaway Key?
The cookies.
The cookies themselves? Kind of like the ribs.
Yes.
I do like the cookies. I like the ribs, like the cornbread.
The cookies. How can you not? That's the easy answer.
I don't know if we can do this anymore because I know they serve you all the food.
Yeah.
But have you ever made the ice cream sandwich with the two cookies and the ice cream machine?
Okay, do you remember when Brian made the ice cream sandwich with the cookies and I think he put shrimp on it?
Oh, yeah. This almost threw up my throat. Thanks.
I remember there was something about shrimp and I was just like, what are you doing? I'm pretty sure it was an ice cream cookie sandwich with shrimp.
That's why we love Brian.
Brian just came in and said yes. Oh. So I don't know why he did it. But I'm going to guarantee you're probably not going to be able to do it while you're at Cookies. So probably for the best.
So now I'm trying to scroll back. Now between Mitch's avatar from earlier on Facebook and the shrimp ice cream sandwich, I'm going to have a rough night just trying to sleep. So it's going to all be chasing me around. All right. So we are going to get out of here. We're way over time, but we appreciate you hanging with us. So until we speak to you again, for Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.